Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I've been away for a while and just been really busy. Matter of fact, haven't been reading a lot, which is upsetting. And my plantar fasciitis has come back on my left foot. And I finally decided to go to the doctor because I walk a lot. And usually, what it feels like is like nails are in your heel. And what it is it's your tendons in your bottom of your foot will start to tear. And I guess I tore them when I did all that walking in Chicago. Even though it's not much more walking than I normally do, it's probably about 5 miles more. So I was walking about 10 miles a day instead of my normal 5 to 6. And I didn't have my orthotics, and well, actually, I did, but my arch was hurting, so I didn't want to put them in. And I think I would have been better off if I would have put the orthotics in. Matter of fact, I usually walk around and pace when I podcast, but I might do a lot of sitting, so my groove might be not be on. But it's been a busy week of consumption of comics, like buying a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, I spent all day Sunday just archiving a crap load of books. I mean, I must have added another 400, 500 books to my collection. Just received another 1,000 Mylar. And it's like the fire hose, man. And I got my Aaron Myers order. I got some from there. And then I got another order from Reed, which was, he was focusing my collection on Uncanny X-Men, so I told him, "Here's my holes, what do you got?" And he filled in a lot of Uncanny X-Men. So I have, I don't remember, it's like, let me see. I have like from 144 on continuously, pretty much. I'm missing like 2 issues. And then I have a lot after that and a lot before it. Not so much when it's just X-Men, because it becomes Uncanny X-Men in like the 120s, I think. But I do have giant size X-Men, so my collection on X-Men has grown quite a bit. And I never was like, when I was big into comics, at least going to the comic shop, I always like strayed away from X-Men and Legion of Superheroes for some reason. And now I'm correcting that mistake. And also, like I said, I've always been a DC guy, so I had a lot of holes in Marvel, because anytime I had to stop, it was Marvel that got cut. And now I'm finding that I want to finish a lot of those Marvel runs. And this order from D from MyComicShop.com was fairly unique in that I didn't even remember what I ordered, because I've been stockpiling it since like November, you know, saying I want this, I want that, want this, and be putting things in my cart but never actually hitting purchase. And I didn't really know what was in it when I hit purchase, except for like the last few things. So it was kind of like a Christmas box. I didn't know what the hell was in it. And you might say that's weird, but it is. The downside to doing what I did is during that time frame, I thought I was completing a run, but when I hit submit, they can't fulfill some of those items, and they kind of vanish from your cart, and you don't know about it. But I was trying to complete Moon Knight and Namor, and now I'm missing a few issues because I didn't do diligence. I was trying to finish Volume 1 of Moon Knight and 2 miniseries. It was the first miniseries and the second miniseries, and I ended up getting 4 of the 8, or I think it's 4 of the 7 of issues on the miniseries, and I'm missing about 5 more Moon Knights. So that's the downside of waiting. You know, if you know you're looking for an issue, you act now. And but I'll go over some of that stuff. Some of the things that I got that I forgot I ordered, and I started reading one of them last night, is there was a magazine, a publication mostly for serious comic book investors slash comic stores, and it was a publication called Vantage, and I ordered issue 0 and issue 1 through 4 from 1993. And this one was fascinating. The only thing I didn't like is because it's like it is like investment information, according to them. They come with a gold seal on the comic itself, and the issue 0 is sort of like a paper comic, saying this is what this magazine's gonna do. This one has headlines on it, and it says, "Gotcha! Vantage captures juicy Defiant info that no one else has. Two Ultraverse exclusives, Prime 4, why these books are special, and Exiles 3, only Vantage knows." So what did they try to do is Vantage tried to find out information, like speculation information, even before previews had it, which is pretty fascinating. And it could have been, I can't remember when Advance Comics stopped publication, but they might have still been in the game at this time. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they were during the Defiant years. So the other thing, it says Jim Shooter interview the Plasma album. Why did Shooter leave Valiant? Chris Claremont at Defiant. I haven't read that yet. I want to. Inside Valiant News. Defiant Triumphant crossover. This I didn't even know about, and I just completed Triumphant. So I'm really curious to see what that really means. Quesada's next project, suspended animation comics for reading. And you open this up, and there's kind of like it's the fall 1993 market report. It talks about what this magazine is. It has top picks of the month, and I'll tell you one thing right now is they were off in terms of long-term investment. They might have been okay on short-term investment, but they picked Vortex number one, which was the Heroes comic line from Dark Horse, and Dark Dominion number one from Defiant. They had more Advantage investment picks as Prime number four, Sludge number one. It pretty much says Ultraverse all titles, like they're gonna light up the world. Comics Greatest World, all titles. Warriors of Plasma number three, Dr. Chaos Triumphant. Dark Horse Comics number 51, Concrete number one, and Dark Horse Comics Presents number one, Solar from Valiant number 28 and 29. The first article was fascinating. This one I need to confirm now that I completed Triumphant. This order completed Triumphant for me, and I'll talk a little bit more detail about this order besides the Vantage comics, and I'll be talking about more of it as I go along. But it had an article on D Defiant Triumphant crossover, and this is odd. There's a book called Triumphant Unleashed that's supposed to have a War Dancer, which was a Defiant character. I've completed War Dancer. Let's go look at what that was. It was from Shooter's Company. I love Defiant. I love all this stuff. It was only six issues and it ran in 1994, so this was before publication of War Dancer. And I God, I wish I had my Overstreet with me, but because I want to look this up to see how true it is, since this is so far in advance. But in Triumphant Unleashed, they're supposed to have a fold-out that has a picture of War Dancer in it. And I am really curious to see what that is. And then it said, in the meantime, Vantage has learned that issue of Triumphant Unleashed will feature Dr. Chaos, at least part of War Dancer's hand. And so they're going to have in Dr. Chaos number one. But one of the books only has part of War Dancer's hand, so I don't like know how you'd notice it. Like if you zoom in on number one, let's see. I go to Comic Base and zoom in. There's nothing like iconic about War Dance. He looks like an Aztec, is what he looks like if you've never seen War Dancer. He's kind of shirtless, but has like this gold emblem on his shoulders. And he does have some gold armbands, so I imagine if I go to look for his work for this item in Triumphant, I will see the hand with the wristband, because that would be the only identifiable thing. And they said that you store owners will not be aware of Dr. Chaos Number One's importance when they place their orders. So, yeah, he wasn't that important. But having said, Triumphant was a lot of fun. A matter of fact, Dr. Chaos Number One, I have reread actually fairly recently, and here I am limping because Harley wants to get out. And normally at this time I'd be walking her. We'd be going for a mile and a half walk. But I can't walk right now because of that cortisone shot. So hopefully tomorrow things will improve. I gotta fight through it, man. But anyway, I'm really curious to see how true this is. This is such a fun read. And he also there's some stuff about Vortex being underordered. They talk about speculation and how low print runs are really the way to go because the demand is greater than what's out there. And they talk. I didn't read about the Plasm binder fiasco, but I want to read that because it was talking to Jim Shooter at the time. And if you are interested, I did post the pages to this Jim Shooter article. It's only two pages, and you will find it on my Twitter feed at Mike Myers Brunch. And there's some defiant answers from Jim Shooter. There's some Shooter talk about leaving Valiant and the very interesting lawsuit that Marvel went after Defiant for because they had a character called Plasmer, and I think it was from Marvel UK. And Defiant was going to release a comic book called Plasm, and because of this, they filed a thing with the United States District Court in Manhattan, stating that they couldn't do it. So Jim Shooter said, "Well, we'll make it Warriors of Plasm," and that you think that would work, but Marvel still attacked them. And I guess what you could say is that was bullshit because Marvel didn't win, and Warriors of Plasm did come out. But that I remember when that happened. That was in Wizard magazine or something. But it's good to revisit things like that. Jim Shooter on leaving Valiant. Shooter says that he was pushed out of Valiant when two of the other owners of Valiant became husband and wife. See, I didn't know this. I didn't know about this husband and wife thing. After the company started making money and started to turn the corner and doing very well, they came up with a plan to sell Voyager to the wife's brother and a group of investors from a company called Allen and Company. It would have been very, very good for them and very, very bad for me. Under the terms of the deal, I would have lost my shares. I would have had to sign a 10-year non-compete clause that was transferable. So I couldn't sign it, and they threatened to fire me if I didn't. They had enough votes on the board, of course, so when I didn't sign it, they fired me. That's the story. However, I'm defiant. So you get how Jim Shooter went from Valiant to Defiant and then later on to Broadway. But He said, I can do it again. I have no trouble getting out this time and raising the money without any strings attached. What a great article there. And I don't remember Chris Claremont's role at Defiant, but pretty early on we signed up Chris to help build the universe. He's been attending our creative meetings and working as a consulting editor. He has limited time right now because he has a huge commitment to write a novel in a fairly short time. His first issue will probably be involved at the beginning of next year, and I don't know if this happened. Because War Dancer was written by Alan Weiss and Jim Shooter, with art by Alan Weiss. And on the Defiant world, we have Birth of the Defiant Universe, Charlemagne, Dark Dominion, Defiant Genesis, Dogs of War, The Good Guys, Grimax, Origin of the Defiant Universe, Plasm, Prudence and Caution, War Dancer, Warriors of Plasm, and the Warriors of Plasm graphic novel. So the only thing I'm missing is the binder and cards that formed a comic book. They talk about this in here. And how Shooter says that Diamond Distributors, a major middleman between comic stores and the publishers and the River Group, had a misunderstanding. In one of the meetings between the River Group and Diamond, they limited the album to 15,000. Diamond came away from the meeting with the impression that the album would be limited to 15,000. Shooter says that the River Group did not realize that they had given Diamond this impression when Diamond printed that there were $15,000 quantity limit in their previous catalog, which thousands of retailers used to order from Diamond. The misunderstanding came to light. What a mess. And then he said Shooter reflected on all that. I thought, well, okay, we probably won't get more than 15,000, but then orders came in for like 115,000. To make matters worse, other distributors had not limited the album to 15,000 in their catalogs. So that's the other distributor that was competing against Diamond, which was Capital, which I've talked about in previous issues about Advance Comics. Shooter suggested to the River Group that they print to order and offer it returnable. It was their call. After the River Group decided to make 15,000 first prints followed by a reprint, I said fine, and I tried my best to help them get it out. The River Group was extremely new to the comic book business, and they just didn't know how it would play. The Plasm cards, there's also been some controversy surrounding the decision to reprint the cards in Diamond's previews. Some dealers feared it would inhibit card sales. Shooter insists that the only motivation was to build readership. At the time, it all sounded very reasonable. Shooter says that Diamond liked the idea, and I thought, well, Diamond would never do anything to screw their own retailers. For both Diamond and Defiant, Shooter explains, when you keep trying to do new things, you'll occasionally make mistakes. Upsetting people like this on purpose is the last thing in the world I would do. So this is just fascinating stuff. I mean, God, I just want to dig into more of these stories. They were talking about how you should invest in Ultra, which one was it? Let me see if I can find it. Exiles number 3, because it had a death of a major character. They talked about Barry Windsor Smith going over to do Rune. Yeah, this is just fantastic stuff. They talked about Bloodshot number 6 because they were talking about, hey, retailers don't know, but we'll let you know stuff like Bloodshot number 6 having the first appearance of Ninjak before you even can see it to order it. Ah, this is fun stuff. Yeah. They talk about Legend. Is Legend, if you guys all remember, Legend was an imprint at Dark Horse where they would take like all these key creators that were popular, like Frank Miller and a bunch of others, Walt Simonson, Art Adams, Mike Mignola, Jeff Darrow, John Byrne, Paul Chadwick, and Frank Miller. Frank Miller, I believe, did the Sin City under this logo. Paul Chadwick, I know he did Concrete. John Byrne did Next Men and some of the others, but I don't remember what they did. Like, I'd have to. There's that Martha Washington Goes to War. I think that's Miller and Gibbons. Really fascinating stuff. And I have to finish Comics Greatest World at some point. It's one title I would love to finish. But this is an expensive article, and I mean the thing that I didn't like was the little sticky thing. Like it's got like a gold seal, and it's not easy to crack. It's very sticky without doing the book a little bit of damage, and it was very frustrating. And I noticed the other issues 1 through 5, they have this one was black and white, but the other ones have color and stuff. And but they also have the gold still. So what that means is, when I got them from my comic shop, that nobody had opened these copies. So that's kind of unique. I wouldn't have mind if they had somebody that was really careful open the copy and get rid of the gold seal, the sticky seal, because it's hard to get off yourself. But it's all very fascinating. The other thing I went and bought, I was talking to the comic shop owner at our shop. Actually, he's not the owner. He's a kid that works there. And as I bought, I've been buying some weird shit from there. Like he's been helping me find stuff. And I said, "Didn't you have some of those DC Best of DC digests?" And he said, "Yeah, I remember, but I can't remember where he put them." But he found like 8 of them for me, which is pretty cool because I have a long way to go on those DC digests. And I think I have about, like, not including the Adventure Comics line, because Adventure Comics did go digest for like 12 or 15 issues. And I had all those because I have every Adventure Comic since 1973. And those were towards the tail end of Adventure Comics. But they had DC's best comics. And then there was another line. The other line was DC Special. They had a digest. So there's a DC Special comic book, which I don't have a full run of, but I have about half of it. And then they have a DC Special digest, and I have only about 5 of those, so I'm looking over the course of time to complete those. And the other thing I've been getting is a lot of Kickstarters in the mail, which is making me very happy. I'll be talking about some in the future because there was some that were mediocre, like I could have done without. I read Hell Riot and Willowbrook. Willowbrook was definitely better than Hell Riot, which I enjoyed. I think I gave one of them a th I gave them 3 out of 5s. I can't remember. But the last two that I got, those were fucking awesome. So I've been really happy with that stuff. And then today, DCBS, so I had 36 pounds of comics arrived from mycomicshop.com. That's pretty good weight. And that's because I had accumulated a lot of stuff. But unfortunately, it didn't get me where I wanted to be because I had more in there. But I did complete my Triumphant line, so I'm really happy about that. And I did complete Defiant, with the exception, I was only missing Warriors of Plasm number 2. And now I have it. So the only one that I'm missing now is the binder with the cards. And I had an opportunity to buy one, but it was the second print, and I decided I'd rather go after the first print just because I'm weird that way. So we'll see. I'll probably have that really close to the end of the year at some point. Also, my DCBS order came in, and I've ordered a Mad magazine, and I forgot I ordered this, but the reason I ordered it was because it had a fa I can't pronounce that word, facsimile facsimile edition of Plop number one. And I never owned the Plop. My brother did, except I don't know what he did with them. If he still has them when I go to his house at some point, I'm gonna ask if I can buy them from him, 'cause he doesn't care. He doesn't care about his comics. He wants to sell them. And the Plop, I never went after. It was like Mad Magazine in comic book format, and this has one right in the middle. It's got a facsimile edition of Plop number one, and I didn't realize Mad Magazine was color now. It's pretty neat, and it's got some Shazam stuff in it, so I'm looking forward to checking that out. I wonder if they still have Spy versus Spy. It's been years since I've read Mad Magazine. If they have any like retro stuff like Don Martin. And I don't think so. It's all new. They have some Aquaman in here. I guess it's, oh, Spy versus Spy. They do have Spy versus Spy still. Very cool. Oh, and they do have a, it looks like Al Jaffe is comics, but no, this is Sergio Aragonés. They do have a events that inspired Al Jaffe's iconic signature. That's pretty cool. So they do have stuff in here. So I don't know. Maybe it'll get me getting Mad Magazine again. I'd like to get, the thing is there's too much damn good stuff, and I don't want to miss out. So I just try to buy everything, and I know that I am gonna miss out because I have more comics than I could ever read in a lifetime. So another thing I focused on this order is I said, man, you know what? One of my favorite movies of all time is Fright Night. I love Fright Night and Fright Night 2. I mean, I just absolutely adore those movies. Brewster, You're So Cool, Evil Ed, Peter Vincent, the Great Vampire Killer. And Now Comics had a Fright Night, but I never went for it. And I decided to pish, pit, to buy issues 1 and 2. Another series that I wanted to, that I'm surprised I didn't get at the time, I really am, but it's Lobo. I bought all the minis, like Lobo's Back and a couple other minis of Lobo, but I never got the ongoing. Except for issue one, which had a special cover. I remember it had like, I think they call it embossed cover, where it's got like a 3D look to it, like some of the silver on him stuff was 3D coming out of the cover and stuff like that. I did try a new comic book called Siphons. I got almost all of volume one except for one issue. No, I think I completed volume one. Let's go check it out. A matter of fact, I got a lot of comments on Twitter about it, about people liking it. Yeah, so that was only seven issues that ran from 1986 to 1987, and it was by Alan Curtis. By and the art was by Alan Curtis. Now I will say that the art on the covers of these don't look that great, and I think what drew me to Siphons is I was in Advanced Comics, which was Capital Cities Distribution Magazine, and I saw an ad for Siphons, and it had Mark Beecham covers and art, and it's still by Alan Curtis, but it had a different artist, and it looked spectacular. Matter of fact, the covers don't look like Mark, but they, I'm gonna see if it is Mark. Wow, he's got a style that looks like God, I can't think of his name. The guy who draws Nocturnals. Very much reminisce Nocturnals. Dan Breton. Why don't I own that? That's Malibu Comics. I know I supported a Kickstarter. But that surprises me. Bill, if you listen to this, I don't own Dan Breeden's Nocturnals that ran from 1995. This is something that should interest me very, very much. There's one from Image in 2008 I don't own, unless it's upstairs. The Dark Forever from Oni, I don't own that. There's another Image, oh, that's a collected edition. The Sinister Path was from Big Wow in 2017. Nocturnal's Toll Bridge from 2000 from Oni. So this thing's been all over the world, man. Nocturnal's Unhallowed Eve from 2002. The Witching Hour from Dark Horse. What's been there? Nocturnals. And then I know he's had some Kickstarters, and they don't enter in these Kickstarters in the database, but I enter them in and submit them. I especially like when Kickstarters have a barcode, because then when I send it to Comic Base, they know it's like 100% legit, even if they don't have any way to look it up. I don't think they care too much about Kickstarters. The other thing I almost finished was Codename Strike Force. I've been trying to get all of the Image superhero stuff, and I'm getting close. Strike Force, it's spelled kind of funky. It ran from 1994 to 1995 with art by... it was written by Mark Silvestri, except for number zero wasn't. And art was by Brandon Peterson. So that ran... there's a gold promotional edition that I wouldn't mind having. And a blue edition. I don't have those, but I have 0 through 14 minus issue 12. So I will be looking for that. Matter of fact... I don't know if I put that in my queue for the next batch that I'll order. I did find some Mr. T and the T-Force, two special editions. One of them looks like a reprint of another edition. It came out as a zero edition, but it looks like issue 9. So now I'm only missing 6, 7, 9, and 10. Of Mr. T and the T-Force. Seems like really hard to find. So if you hear about where I can find Mr. T and the T-Force, please let me know. I'd like to complete that run. One of the other things I wanted to complete was Silver Sable in the Wild Pack. And I know I queued up everything that I was missing. And it's probably a good idea, because I had put these on there way before her announcement of being inside in the movie Morbius. But even though her first appearance is the one that's going up, the one that's expensive is 23, and it's just because it has Daredevil in it. I did read that one on Comixology. 24, so I'm missing 23, 24... and 33 through 35 of Silver Sable. So I got to wait. I got 5 issues to go on that. I did complete Blood Wolf, which is a character created by Rob Liefeld. I am a Liefeld buff, by the way. So you guys that make fun of him know that you're making fun of me too. But I think he was created by Liefeld in Darker Image number 1. But this series was written by Andy Mengels. Matter of fact, that guy sounds familiar. I think he wrote the Bionic Woman, Wonder Woman 77 issues. It just sounds so familiar. I could be wrong. The artist is Derek Gross Jr. And there's a summer special that's by Robert Lauren Fleming with Keith Giffen. Jeff Johnson and Stephen Philip Jones art. So I have a full run of that. I really wish I got the cover A of number 1, which did have a Liefeld cover, but they were out. So I went with 1A, which I don't dig the cover as much. It's not a Liefeld cover. It's acceptable for me to complete the run, but I'd really like the Liefeld cover. Would make me happy. I better as hell have Darker Image. I know I have number one, so there is just number one. That thing like failed miserably. I think it did well, but it just. A matter of fact, number one has the first appearance of Deathblow, the first appearance of Max. I don't know if that's true. I think Max appeared in some really obscure title like Youngblood did. And but that is an issue that I enjoyed when it came out. And then I got the Vantage magazines. I told you I almost completed Moon Knight Volume 1. So the only thing I'm missing in Moon Knight. I have 1 through 24. I'm missing issue 25. And then issue 32 and 35 through 37. And that's the first series. The second series, I own the whole thing. That is, this is when I really got into Moon Knight. I was late to the game. It was in 1985. It was Alan Zelenets and art by Chris Warner. And it was called Moon Knight, The Fist of Khonshu. And that one was amazing. I love this series. And that's when I, like, really paid attention, even though I knew about Moon Knight because he had appeared in Defenders for a few issues. Matter of fact, I think they're Keith Giffen drawn and very Kirby inspired type anatomy in those. I really liked them. Then you have Moon Knight Volume 3, which is that mini series I was talking about. That was written by Doug Munch and Tommy Lee Edwards. And there are four issues. I have one and two. I had all four in there, but because of they sell stuff when I make the queue and then when I purchase it, I didn't double check and audit it. I missed those two. However, they are in my new order, but by the time I order it, I'm gonna have to double check it. I gotta get really better at looking to see, oh, I have Moon Knight three and four or three there. Better check to see if four is available because maybe it deletes it and then doesn't add it back in. The other one I'm missing is from 1999. It's a four issue mini series, and all I got from that, and I had all four there at one point, but all I received was number two, and it's by Doug Munch and Mark Texeira. So that would have been a fun one. And then, of course, you have the fifth series of Moon Knight. I do own the first run of first appearance of his in Werewolf by Night. A matter of fact, I'm only missing two issues left of Werewolf by Night. This purchase got me one issue closer. I only am missing number five and six of Werewolf by Night. Moon Knight fifth series, that is the Charlie Houston and David Finch, and I have a full run of that. And then Moon Knight Volume 6 is the Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev, and I have a full run of that. That was a strange one. And then you have the Warren Ellis and Dilkin Shalvey 7th series from 2014, and towards the tail end you get some Brian Wood and Cullen Bunn, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. And you know what? I read that. I read all of it, but I didn't take credit for it in the database. And I know I read the Cullen Bunn ones, so I'm gonna have to rectify that situation. Yep, better do that. I'm gonna make a note for myself. Check Moon Knight Volume 7. Because I've read it all. And the only way that could have happened is if I went digital after a while, but I don't think I would have done that. Seventh series. I've been wanting to get a lot of funny books lately, and I've talked a lot about this in the podcast, but one of the ones that I was really interested in is Popeye. And and I picked up like a dozen of them based on covers. I think I have one. I have several from the Gold Key and more from the Charlton, but I didn't get any Dell. Dell is the earliest releases that you can get. And I felt like Popeye. A matter of fact, I feel like reading, watching some Popeye cartoons, or watching the Robin Williams Popeye movie with Shelley Duvall as Olive Oil. So then we got more Silver Sable. I got a lot of Black Hawk. So I have all the Chaikin stuff afterwards, but the first series, I've been getting a lot of the Golden Age. I have a long way to go in the Golden Age, though. Where I start getting really good with Black Hawk is from 237, from 1967 forward, which takes us to 1984. And there were some gaps in the publication, but they kept the numbering running. Like, I'm only missing 242 from that run, so I filled in a lot of holes. I added 242 to my list again, and this time I put it on my wanted list just in case I forget. I'm missing quite a bit from their superhero run, and that was an odd. That was some odd comics, man, I tell you. And then before that, I have quite a bit from like 199 to 216, but I have a lot of holes. So the ones that I have holes with, I like will go to my comic shop and say, let me fill in just this little batch so I can like spread the wealth across other issues. I'm never focused to like complete the run unless I'm close. And that's why it takes me so long, because I got squirrel and I wanna buy more of different things. Dooms 4 I didn't own, and I can't believe I don't own it because it's like right up my alley. It's an Image title. This one was by Rob Liefeld, Mark Pacella, Kurt Hathaway, Patrick Martin. And artist is Richard Hori and Mark Pacella, and it was four issues, and it just looks awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Let's see what else I got. There was a ton of pages. Dr. Chaos was triumphant. I completed that. Crowded, I needed to pick up because I missed issue two. I enjoyed issue one, forgot that I chose that to read it. I said, oh, I'm not getting Crowded. And then when issue three came in, I ordered three and on. So I was like, I never ordered two. And I finally read one, and I'm like, this is really, really good. Ant, I think I finished the. No, there's one more issue of the Image Ant. So Ant is appearing in Savage Dragon. It was a character I've always enjoyed. The Image run is 11 issues, and do I have all of them? I do have all of them, and it's Mario Gully with art by Mario Gully, and he's got some writing help with Jeff Kaufman. And Jeff Kaufman is interesting because he formed Big Comics, Big City Comics. A matter of fact, there should be a comic book called Ant Unleashed. And there is. And that ran from 2007 to 2008. And it was Mario Gully and Marco Turney. And that was three issues only. And I own that. So the only one I have to track down is Ant. I'm looking for where. I was is from Arcana, and I only have issue four, so there's only four issues, so I have to track down one through three, and I don't think they're going to be easy to find because of low print run. And this is a property that Eric Larson bought. Like he brought, I guess Mario Gully was having a hard time paying bills and stuff, and Eric Larson, being the stand-up guy, he's like, I'll get you back on your feet, but you got to give me Ant. And I guess that deal went through, and now Eric Larson owns Ant, and he's using her in Savage Dragon. So what else did I get? I talked about Werewolf by Night. I got issue 26, which I was missing, and now I only need 5 and 6. We have Zorro from Tops, and that one I also ordered full, but they only met half a quarter of my order. So on Zorro, and Zorro has lots of publishers, but I just wanted Tops. And because I've been getting Zorro from American Mythology, and he's appeared in other comics. Matter of fact, I picked up a Zorro I didn't even know it was at Marvel Comics, so I have to go get that run from Marvel Comics. I only own one issue of that. Just found it in a dollar box recently. So that runs 0 through 11, and I'm only missing issue 9. So I have to seek. Oh, 9 and 7, I'm sorry. And then the other one I got from Tops was Lone Ranger. And this one I want bad because of the creators. It's Lone Ranger and Tonto from Tops that ran from 1994 to 1995. And the creators was Joe Lansdale and Timothy Trudeman. I love Joe Lansdale. It's just so macabre stuff that he writes, and he writes westerns, and he writes a lot of stuff. If you ever want to read something that's like horror and like Crazy Town, it's like Drive-In from Avatar. Check that shit out, man. It'll blow your fucking mind. It's like a post-apocalyptic story when the world's ending and these guys get trapped in a drive-in theater and they form little cliques, and it just gets nuts inside the drive-in. But anyway, I only got issue 1 and 4, and I still need 2 and 3, and I know I put them all in my queue, so that was another one I got burned in from completing because I'm so late to the party to hit submit. And then I wanted to get Kiss Psycho Service because it has Angel Medina artwork, and I picked up issues 1 through 5 of that continuous, so I'm looking forward to that. I picked up the first series of Hellshock by Jay Lee. I picked up Batman 266, which was a very good, and this gets me like a dozen or so issues out from having every single Batman comic in every volume of that particular title from 1973. So I'm about 6 out. About the same with Detective. I picked up one issue of Detective. I read on DC Universe, Untold Legends of the Batman. Blew me away. Untold Legends of the Batman. It's a 3-issue arc by John Byrne and, God, I can't, is it Conway? Jerry Conway? I better double check that because this is fucking awesome. Batman, no, it's a. Untold Legends, Legend of the Batman. And it's this, I mean, listen to this creative team. Len Wein, John Byrne, inked by Jim Aparo. I mean, how could you go wrong with that? That's one of the things I got. Barb's home, so I'm going to be breaking up and pausing. I have to finish Nighthawk from Windjammer from Acclaim. I read the first issue, and I was like, this is good. I need to complete this run, and I only needed to get 2 more issues. It's just odd anger. This villain's like a Batman, and he's just an angry son of a bitch. What else is interesting? More Siphons. Like I said, there's 3 volumes. I'm almost complete all of them. I had to get the Atom special. I've been working on my Hawkman Volume 1 and my Atom Volume 1, and I saw that I was missing the special edition number 2. I had number special edition number 1. Had to place that issue of issue Volume 2. Awesome cover. It's like somebody's stepping on the Atom, and the Atom's like holding his shoe up. I've been trying to complete Venom, And I got Venom Seed of Darkness minus one. And there was another Venom mini series called The Enemy Within. I'm still missing issue one, which has an awesome cover. And I'm going to take a little pause for the cause, so bear with me. I'll try to remember I was talking about Venom. All right, I'm back, and I left off with Venom. So that was a another victim of missing number one. And number one of The Enemy Within has an awesome cover, and I've already read this inside of the Venom Omnibus. I just wanted to have the issues, so I have to seek out that. I did complete Hellstorm, Prince of Lies, which I had thought I complete, but I guess I stopped getting it after Warren Ellis left. And I wanted to finish that because Son of Satan is one of my favorite characters. I do own his first appearance, Ghost Rider in Marvel Premiere, I believe, or Spotlight, I can't remember. And then his own series, he had a series called Son of Satan, and he was a defender, and that's how I met Damian. I think he was married to Patsy Walker, Hellcat, too, at some point. Riot Gear, that is a triumphant. So I finished that. Scorpion Core, I finished getting that. That's Dagger. It's another Dead Universe. I've been working on completing Dagger and Lightning. Let's see what else we got here. Lots of miscellaneous great stuff. Unknown Soldier, I picked up a lot of issues that, like, I talked about my strategy is poking around a certain area to make it look more continuous. I picked up about six issues of Unknown Soldier. I filled in some more Sergeant Rock specials. I got picked up two more of those. Warriors of Plasm, so I completed the actual Defiant books that I needed that are comics. I could still get the trade actually had the card collection, so I actually own the story. I just don't own it in its format. Bloodhound, Crowbar Machine Medicine, sorry, this was a DC property, I think, and it went over to Dark Horse for the second volume, much like the Mighty. And I was missing issue four, so I picked that up. We then have a couple issues of Hero Illustrated, which is like Wizard Magazine. I really enjoy that. When I was going through Advanced Comics, I picked up one more issue at Advanced Comics, but Outbreed 999. I talked about this with Bill Bomer on Geek Brunch, and I said, you know what? This looks so interesting to me. I'm going to have to place an order, and I did. And then Mr. Bonehead ordered Metropolis SCU number 3, and I meant it to be number 2. I already had a number 3. I picked up an issue of American Mythology that I was missing, Casper the Friendly Ghost number 1. I had number 2. I just needed number 1. Scavengers, completed that from Triumphant. Namor, I got really close. I only need like five more issues of Namor, and then I'm done with the John Byrne. Not all of it's John Byrne, but I'll be done with that series. Purge from Lightning Comics, I completed that volume. I really enjoyed Purge back in the day. This was one issue I was missing, issue 8. Fantastic Force, I have a full run of that now. I needed number 7 and was able to complete that. Mrs. Tree Quarterly Special number 1. I was just missing number 1. I had the rest of them and completed that. Advanced Comics number 37 from 1989. That's going to be fascinating. I specifically targeted a year I couldn't remember too much of, like prior to the 90s. I wanted to see what it was, and I'll probably be talking about that in a future episode. I picked up two big issues I was missing, Green Lantern number 89 and 81. These were Green Arrow, Green Lantern comic. Neil Ad you know Adams, no, Dennis O'Neil and Neil Adams, and I was missing those. So Green Arrow's become really interesting. I'm sorry, Green Lantern. Green Arrow, I own everything of, except for his more fun comics. But Green Lantern, with the exception of Volume 1, which is Green Lantern in 1941, was the Alan Scott. He had his own series, believe it or not. But Green Lantern Volume 1. The only thing I'm pissed off about at Green Lantern is I had the opportunity at 1, 2, and 3, and I just didn't have the money, but I could have got them at a really great price. And I have pretty much Green Lantern continuous from 14 on, missing a few issues here and there. And I was missing these two issues, so it gets me closer, although I'm still missing one issue, I believe, or two issues of when Green Lantern, Green Arrow started, I think. God, I love some of these covers. So much fond memories of picking these up off of the spinner rack. So I'm missing issue 78. Still need to pick that up. And one more issue, I think. Number 60. And then it's like continuous from 14 on. So maybe one or two more I'm missing. But that's a pretty good accomplishment to have every Green Lantern comic book with Hal Jordan, minus the showcase issues. I don't have those. But it's pretty impressive. And yeah, those early issues are going to be real expensive. Don't know if I'll get them. But I'm pretty sure I'll get through like five and up. And I do own the stories in hardcover. Let's see what else we got. Hawk and Dove, number 6. It was volume 1. So this is a big deal, because now I own every volume of Hawk and Dove from that point, from volume 1 forward. However, I think they appeared in Showcase prior to that. And I'm not sure if I own that. I'm going to quickly scan the database to see if it jumps out at me. There's so many cool appearances, like Green Lantern. Number 22 is the one I would love to have. That's an expensive bitch, though. So you got the Sea Devils. I like the Sea Devils. I have number 30, which is the origin of Aquaman. But I would love to have 31 through 32, and then I have 33. And then Rob Krieger has Showcase 34, and I would have loved to have that issue. He beat me to it from Aaron Myers, that bastard. Could have had that. I'm just seeing if I could find Hawk and Dove. And it doesn't jump out at me. But you know what? I need to have this issue. This number 56 is the first appearance of Psycho Pirate. Oh my God, how do I not own that? Okay, now we get into the Spectre, which I have those. Buona Beast. The Creeper, I have that. Batlash, I just picked that up recently. I need to get Angel and the Ape, though. That's 77. 79's the first appearance of Dolphin. I would love to have that. I can't find it offhand. But I am missing Doom Patrol number 96. Damn it. How did that happen? 96 and 97. No, 97's Power Girl. So I'm missing the first Power Girl, but I have the second. That's odd. And then I have, the rest of it closing it out. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm missing Hawk and Dove's first appearance, but I can't confirm or deny that. But you know what I could do is go Hawk and Dove on the Twitter, on the Google machines. Go to Wikipedia and just look Showcase 75. So now that I know what it is, I can go. I have it. Yay! So I have their first appearance, and I have every volume after that. Victory on Hawk and Dove. I picked up Detective Comics, which is a Joker cover, 504. So that gets me closer. That'll happen. I just don't buy a lot of Batman. They're a little more expensive, and I try to target one or two on each procurement. And then I bought Untold Legend of the Batman. We talked about that. It's so good. And I think that's wraps up my purchases. So I did this. I did talk about them. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I'll be back in a few minutes with the weekly reads. And the other thing I wanted to mention, and listen carefully, because there's a contest where you could win the Batman Black and White. They sell them at Walmart, but I bought a box through Diamond, and I got three sets of each Batman Black and White Volume 1 plastic figurines, which are mimics the actual black and white statues, and they're about 2 inches tall with a nice round base for display. They look really good. They have a little bit of weight to them, like PVC type characters of the original statues. And there's a contest on the DC Noise, specifically DC Spotlight podcast, and I'll get you the episode number that me and Kyle did. DCNoisePodcast.com, and you can go there, or you can go to iTunes and download it. But it's DC Spotlight 15, Batman Black and White contest. And if you listen to all the reviews and after, you get to the end of those, and right before we review Green Arrow Longbow Hunters, I give a description of how you can win that contest, and it's easy. And you can win a set of six of those figures and be mailed to you at no cost. So I think you should jump on that. And I'll be right back with Mike M's Weekly Reads. Thanks for listening. Welcome back. And now let's go over Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is for March 4th through March 10th of 2019. This is a pretty pathetic week of reading, but there was a lot of quality stuff. There was a lot of 5 out of 5s, and there's a couple 3 out of 5s. So let's go to the old Netflix rating. It's 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, did not like it. 1, I hated it. We'll start at the bottom. 3 out of 5s. Well, let's do a summary of what we read. 12 books, 3 Marvel, 2 Kickstarters, and 7 DC. So let's go over the 3 out of 5s. They were both Kickstarters. Hell Riot, the first story is about a bartender who manifests nanobot capabilities, but then is captured by a government organization. The second story is about two lesbians in a post-apocalyptic zombie world. Sounds fantastic. It was all right. I enjoyed it. Not as much as some of the other Kickstarters I got, but I may or may not continue it if there's a volume 2. So then we got Willowbrook, number 1. This was a book. I wonder if I put it in my database. I probably didn't. I gotta start doing that. Stand by. I'm gonna go pick the book up because it's by a Kubert. Emily Kubert, I believe, is the daughter of one of the Kuberts, Adam, or let's see. So I had Hell Riot, and Willowbrook is by Emma Kubert. And that one I got just because of the name. It's well executed, and she draws really nice. Three friends during a Halloween season run into a teenage witch, and she saves one of them from a wolf and takes them to her grandmother's house. The grandmother mind wipes the other teenagers. It was good. Both of these, though, I will say, were very good Kickstarter publishers. They solicited the stuff. They came out when they said they were going to solicit it, I mean, produce it, and that's awesome. Another 4 out of now we get in the 4 out of 5s. We have JLA 91 and 93. So I finished the one trade that mostly had the monkey stuff with the Kelly Jones. I'm not Kelly Jones. What the freak? Oh, Joe Kelly stuff. And this stuff was not that. It was the next three stories, which had like guest writers. The satellite is bombarded with rock because a ship came to in through a multidimensional portal. Plaz saved the satellite by plugging his ass in the holes with his body until the rest of the JLA could get there. This alien is a shape changer and was coming back to Earth to find a silver monkey, which he believed to be extinct. The JLA find the last silver monkey before it is killed by deforesting blasts. The alien then tours the JLA a while, but visits the ravaged lands and sees only destruction. He then determines he is going to help Earth become extinct with an extinction-like event, like an asteroid hitting the Earth. The JLA stops it and they escort the alien away, but the alien ends up killing himself. It was a pretty good story. You could kind of see the seeds at the beginning and how it might end, but other than that, it was a pretty solid story. Very much with the message. Aquaman 27. Dolphin and Aquaman are captured by a villain called Crush. Mara goes to the Titans to convince Tempest to use his magic to help her get back to Atlantis because the Crown of Thorns is keeping her out. Dolphin and Aquaman escape, and at this time, Aquaman's believed to be dead. Mara doesn't believe it, but everybody else believes him to be dead. Dolphin and Aquaman escape, but he tangles with a villain called Cadaver. Reverend Mother wants Mara to take over Atlantis. Then get into Action Comics Special Number 1. It's a very cool story about Lex Luthor trying to kill Lois and Superman, but it is a dying Lex from a future. It's not our Lex. The second story is about a roast for the President of the United States, and Lois and Clark are hosts, taking shots and and the audience and Clark poked the bear when he I don't even know what I wrote. But anyway, they were Clark more uncomfortable with roasting somebody than Lois, and he actually starts poking the bear with Luthor while he's on stage picking on people. The last story is about and I believe Lex kills somebody because of it. He's agitated. The last story is about Lois getting in a car accident and totaling her favorite car. Superman saves the seat from the car and gives it to her as a gift, and also saves the guy who invented a jet pack to rob a bank. He convinces the guy to turn himself in, and then he promises that when that guy gets out of jail, he can still keep his design pattern for the jet pack because he thinks he can make a lot of money of it for good reasons. Instead of becoming a thief, we then have the 5 out of 5s. Jerry Ordway writing on Power of Shazam. Shazam saves many from a villain called Ibak. Now, when I first saw the Shazam trailer, I saw how Dr. Savannah looked, I thought it was Ibak just because of the physical appearances. Ebenezer Batson, the son of Ebenezer Batson, is trying to revamp part of Fawcett City when Ibak blows up a building. Ebenezer Batson and his son, they're kind of like assholes. And I think Ebenezer like kicked out Billy early on in his life, which made him have to go to a foster home. Shazam saves as many as he can, but one security guard dies, so he feels really guilty. He's invited to a party for saving his cousin when the arson fiend attacks, and this guy goes back to the Golden Age, the arson fiend. Captain Marvel is taken by Shazam, the wizard, and they get into an argument about Mary, and the wizard takes away Captain Marvel, Billy's powers. He is Billy when the fire breaks out, and he rescues the group of civilians at the party, one which includes Savannah's niece. And because he remembers that his uncle Ebenezer has a wine cellar, but the arson fiend was hired by his uncle Ebenezer. Shazam grants Captain Marvel his powers back in time to fight the arson fiend. He is defeated, the arson fiend, by Captain Marvel, but gets hit, but gets away. We then get into I really love this. I was rereading it digitally, on the DC Universe app. You can join along. If you have the DC Universe app, check out Power of Shazam. I have the original issues and read it way back when, but man, this second reading is just phenomenal. Savage Hulk number one. This is just a one shot. Hulk is on trial for all the destruction that he's caused. Several witnesses testify in front of the court. Jen Walters is actually defending the Hulk. At this time, Hulk is smart and sitting in the courtroom. The judge is actually Stan Lee. At the end, his villains all attack the courtroom and the court is adjourned. Several accounts and fights with Iron Man and Thor. It was an interesting little one shot. I enjoyed it. That one I got from mycomicshop.com recently. It just when I was poking around Incredible Hulk, I saw this and I was like, oh, that's interesting. We then get to Amazing Spider-Man 129, and oh my God, this is the first time I've ever read this thing. It's the first appearance of the Punisher. I don't own it, but I do own it in an omnibus format, and I'm not sure if I own it in Epic. I don't know if that one's come out yet, to tell you the truth. But if it has, I do own it there too. But I read this as a comic book in the True Believers format. And it's the first appearance of Punisher. The Punisher is hired by the Jackal. That was pretty shocking for me because I just read the Clone Wars, which the Jackal's a huge part of, and this is he's hired by the Jackal to go after Spider-Man after the death of Gwen Stacy. He thinks he kills him unjustly, but Spider-Man shows back up and they fight. That means the Punisher and Spider-Man fight. They get to talking, and Punisher realizes that Spider-Man is not the bad guy and he wants to now go after the Jackal. That kind of summarizes it at a very high level. There's a lot of other things in there that is interesting, but that's the summation. We then get into Conan the Barbarian number four. Conan is king, and now he's empowered and not fighting. And he's getting ill because he's basically getting gangoha. Like, he doesn't want to. He wants the action and adventure, and now that he's king, everybody's treating him like king, and he doesn't do shit except advise, rule. And that's really boring to him. So it manifests itself in a sickness. Like, he's really becoming so depressed that he's getting himself sick. He gets politicians and befriends a lion who he wants to attack him, the lion, and actually kill him, but the killer lion does not, and it becomes Conan's best friend. So it's like this lion and Conan are actually best friends. That's his pet. He starts listening to problems that are happening in his kingdom and then breaks out at night without the politicians and his inner circle, knowing that he's breaking out at night, and rights the wrongs and kills the thieves and killers in the kingdom with his lion. Meanwhile, his staff has no idea what he's doing. I really loved it. I thought it was amazing. I think I'm going to get into another week. This is week beginning March 11th through March 17th, 2019. It was a week of 24 comics. A lot of them that begin with the letter A. We had 5 Image, 1 IDW, 7 DC, 8 American Mythology, 1 American Gothic Press, 1 Albatross, and 1 Absolute Comics. So let's start at the bottom. The 3 out of 5s. Pink Panther Winter Special. The first story is a silent issue where he is his white enemy. Oh, where his white enemy, it's like a Inspector Clouseau guy, but I don't think it is skiing, and he wants to make money taking pictures of a Yeti, but Pink Panther always gets in the way of the photos and then destroys his camera at the end. In the next story, Inspector Clouseau is having over a commissioner and do like deuce, sorry, deuce deuce over for dinner. Doo-doo. And Panther is hungry and disruptive and eventually gets invited. So the Pink Panther gets invited to the party even though he's not wanted. The last issue is a reprint where Pink Panther goes to give a famous daredevil his wallet back but gets hit in the head and thinks he is that daredevil. And these stories are all told in the vein of the classic cartoon where Pink Panther doesn't speak. Really well told news stories. The next one that I was a 3 out of 5 was a Pat Shan one-shot. It's called Meteor Shower, a sci-fi B film about a meteor that is going to destroy Earth. One astronaut from the corporation that saves Earth collects some larvae from the meteor and brings it to Earth and causes an insect invasion. He forms a group that tries to destroy all these bugs, but it seems like an impossible task. Really good little sci-fi one shot. It's done pretty effective. It is a good read to just see how to, what I think, do an effective one shot and get a beginning, middle, and end in a 22-page comic. Might have been 20 pages. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Three Stooges Shemptastic Spectacular. This one has a new story about Shemp trying to deliver a package to Moe, Larry, and Curly. He gets to their house and thinks, gets to their house and thinks someone may have hurt them for the package. In other words, the package that he's delivering. Two agents mistake him for someone else and tried to kill Shemp. And he really thinks he is on some adventure to save his friends. When he finds that they are playing with their dog at a park, and he asks why their house was a disaster, and they said they were playing with the dog inside. The chalk outline of Larry, which he thought Larry might be dead, was for an art class. Shemp gets a reward for taking down the bad agents that were trying to kill him for this package. Then it reprints two St. John stories, but they were already covered in the St. John's archive, so I had reread them, so I was a little bummed out. And those ones will show up later at a 5 out of 5. Three Stooges, Monsters, and Mayhem. Moe only can have bread and desires one of Curly's fish sandwiches, so they're like poor, and Moe is only eating bread, but Curly is actually working. He's going to fishing to catch his meal. But for whatever reason, Curly never gives him any fish, so Moe has to steal one. The Three Stooges are as monsters in the second story. Curly is a werewolf. Moe is the invisible man. Larry is the bride of Frankenstein. Classic tale of them owning a barber shop but have no customers. That's the third story. So they train a dog who happens to look like a famous professor when they shave him. Those are fun stories, man. They were really fun. The next one is Casper's Ghostland, number 2. Casper and Wendy help a kid who wants to ride a broken mechanical horse, Wendy gives the kid a ride of his life as the horse becomes detached. The next story is Spooky is out playing jokes on the Spook Cats and later runs into Hot Stuff, who is going to make a pie for his girlfriend with boysenberries. The cats play a joke on Spooky and then make him guilty of destroying this batch of boysenberries. Wendy and the witches on the third story try to turn one of their peers back to a witch, but she keeps cycling through various animals. That one was a reprint. The other two were original content. The next one we have is from American Mythology again. It's Inspector number one. This is in the Pink Panther vein. Inspector thinks his boss has been kidnapped, but in reality he is on vacation. Inspector goes on a date with a sexy cat burglar named Kitty Fatale, and she is stealing stuff left and right, but gets caught by the inspector for parking in front of a fire hydrant. Inspector solves a mystery. This is the next story of missing jewels, where the guy is claiming someone stole them from the safe, but replaced them with ice. Pink Panther robs the game show in the next one because he has a photographic memory, but instead of the money, he wants a trip to Hawaii. That was another fun one. Get into an IDW, Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive number one. Dick Tracy takes down a software giant and gets fired for it. Big Boy wants him hired to help him get rid of a governor who is destroying his business, legitimately destroying his business. Dick arrests Big Boy and he gets the chair and is believed to be dead. The mole has his body after it's a carcass. The next one from American Mythology is Casper's Capers. It reprints the first appearance of Casper, Wendy, the witch, and Spooky. It was pretty freaking amazing to experience this because I have never experienced it before. The next one is from American Gothic Press. A detective is attacked in her own home and the thief is looking very specifically for the medallion. So this one is a kind of a confusing story. Someone is after this particular medallion. She kills the intruder. There are two interesting drivers that drove the attacker to the detective's apartment. And it starts focusing on them in a bar. We then get into the first issue that I own, and there might be others, of Absolute Comics. It's Window Witch. Number one, I really enjoyed the first one. Matter of fact, number two's out, but I don't think I've received it. A college student is doing good in school and also competes on the beach volleyball team for that college. One day she passes out and they have to take her to the hospital, and her rich scientist parents meet her at the hospital. They know that something is wrong, but don't tell her. Her father shows up at her door when she's released from the hospital. He shows up at her door and injects her with a serum that gives her spider-like abilities as she's attacked by what seems like federal agents. Her father dies but tells her that they captured the mother, her mother. So then we get into from Albatross, Mega Ghost number one. There is a haunted city and it is magical. Two kids are talking about going to visit a magical abandoned house and one chickens out. A group of magical anarchists are given a book of spells by an evil magician and they summon up a huge dragon. One of the kids finds a ring in a box with a hand in it. He puts it on. And it allows him to summon Mega Ghost, which is a huge ghost-like fighter that he can control. It fights the dragon and defeats him, and he pretty much just saves the day. The ghosts of the house don't tell him anything about the ring that he was wearing. Great art, fun story from Eric Powell's company, but it's not Eric Powell. Got Terrifics 8 and 9 from DC Comics. The team is split to look for Tom Strong's family, so they split up into two teams. Rex and Power Girl in the Aztec Nation, Plaz and Mr. Terrific, and Newman the Robot on some cartoon world, and then Tom Strong on Slaughter Swamp. They end up getting rescued by Tom's wife and daughter as they escape Dr. Dredd, which is Java, And Java expresses his love for Sapphire, and she gets mad at him. It turns out that Java is Dr. Dredd, and he is attacking the group. Sapphire finds out that Java is Dr. Dredd as the team to fight Dredd bots clearly it's a take on Doctor Doom. And they said the Terrifics was a take on the Fantastic Four, even though it feels very different. So that was a 4 out of 5. The next 4 out of 5 is Shanghai Red number 1 through 5. A woman who pretends to be a man to make money for her mother and sister is apprehended and made a slave for 3 years on a ship. After 3 years, the captain gives them an option to earn pay and continue on the ship or get dropped off in Shanghai. The woman, who's really posing as a man on the ship, Jack, kills her enslavers and takes over the ship. She gives up all her pay to the crew to get her back to the States where she can be with her mother and get revenge on those men that kidnapped her for the ship. She finds her mom and sister gone when she arrives back in the States and kills the two men who took her. Her mom is dead of an illness, and she finds her sister is working as a whore. She and her sister Kate fight Jack. Her and her sister Kate fight, and Jack, which is really her sister, is really Mary, goes out in the town that also includes political figures and cops, so to take down the corruption. So that's Shanghai Red 1 through 5 from Image Comics. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Green Arrow, the Longbow Hunters, number 1. Ollie and Dinah move to Seattle where they can open up a flower shop. A crackhead crashes through one of the windows and they rescue. And call the medics basically for the woman. Dinah wants to stop the drug dealers, but wants to do this on her own for some reason. Doesn't want to involve Ollie. Meanwhile, there is a killer in Seattle killing women. Ollie tells Dinah he wants to have kids, and she does not. This is the part I don't remember. He recalls his origin and puts it into a realistic spin that he's not really the great archer and hero that he was made out to be, but he in taking out a bunch of pirates on the island. But really, he stopped two stoners who were already out of it that were going to grow MJ over there. Ollie starts to realize he wants to get back to basics, but does not want to use trick arrows anymore. So this is a big deal for Green Arrow. He stops a mugging and gets a lead on the killer who is Tunnel Rat. And Tunnel Rat is the guy who's been killing all the women. Tunnel Rat gets away, and he has links to some of the political friends who went to Vietnam. Shadow is hunting down these people in Seattle as well as things are going on. Really good issue. 5 out of 5. The next 5 out of 5 is Power of Shazam 3 through 6. As Shazam has to take a job as a ship dock worker and stops a group of criminals from killing Muscles. This is a character in these arcs. By giving him a cement bath in the river, the wizard is still trying to find where Mary can be. She doesn't remember who she is and is heading a spelling bee that Billy is hosting at Wiz Radio. He got his job back, essentially. Sinclair Batson takes Mary to the spelling bee. Sinclair is the son of Ebenezer. Some gangsters are after Mary, but Muscle saves them by crashing his car into theirs. Ibak tries to capture Mary, but fails when he clashes with Captain Marvel and he turns over his alias over to the police. Stinky Print Whistle is actually Ibak. Says some magic words and becomes Ibak. Mary sees Captain Marvel, and even though she can't remember who she is, she remembers her dad looking exactly like Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel boosts up Muscle's reputation by letting him win a fight, and Muscle supplies him with information on how to find Mary. Mary is seeing a psychiatrist about her dreams and her father looking like Captain Marvel. Billy takes Takitani to Mary to try to get her to remember. Miss Prim, the nanny, does not want to bring does not want to allow, I don't know what that means. So it brings in a box without letting Billy in. Oh, so Billy went with a gift for Mary of Takitani and wanted to talk to Mary and give her a Takitani doll. But the woman, Miss Prim, was not going to have that. But anyway, Billy takes... Mary grabs the box from her nanny and thinks it's a cruel joke, like Takitani is a cruel joke. Meanwhile, some goons break in and try to steal Mary. Tani talks to her and says for her to say Shazam, and she does. She fights the goons, and then Captain Marvel shows up and gets hit by a car and realizes he's not as strong as he used to be because he shares that power with Mary now. The goons try to shoot Mary, but the nanny jumps in front. She tells Mary that her brother is Black Adam. So Miss Prim's brother is Black Adam, so she feels guilt, and that's why she's trying to help Mary. She goes after him and almost kills him in prison. That is Mary. Mary Marvel goes after Black Adam in prison. She goes to the nanny's funeral and then sees a riot that is caused by Madame Libertine, who can make suggestions to people and cause them to do things that they do not against their will. Mary is convinced to go kill Black Adam, but gains control. The nanny is now in hell with Blaze. You can remember Blaze from the Superman comics, who wants her brother, Black Adam. Madame Libertine is niece to a scientist trying to bring back Captain Nazi. It shows Freddy rising in his popularity as a football player. Captain Nazi needs money and goes to rob a bank, but is stopped by Captain Marvel. But Freddy and his uncle are injured in the process, and Freddy's uncle turns out to be in a coma after that incident with Black Adam. We then have Three Stooges number one, the 1953 St. John's edition reprint from American Mythology. The Stooges have dinner, and it can't turn profitable. One day, they have all their suppliers came to collect for the restaurant. Mr. Bogus is a scam artist and thinks the restaurant is profitable and trades them for a firecracker factory where crooks are turning gold bricks into powder and telling the Stooges it is for the fireworks. And they believe it naively. A fantastic Mr. Bogus story about refundable bottles at the ballpark. That particular story is in prose and it was amazing. The Stooges have to help a family keep their house, and Mr. Bogus scams them again by convincing them they have to steal a bell, but it backfires. The last story is about them applying paint remover to their boss's house by accident. They think it's paint, but it's paint remover. So that's it. There were 24 that week. The five out of fives were Arrow, Longbow Hunters number one, Power of Shazam 3 through 6, and Three Stooges number one, all very retro comics. The previous week had the five out of fives were Power of Shazam 1 to 2, Savage Hulk number one, Amazing Spider-Man number 129, and Conan the Barbarian number 4. You'd be surprised. The five out of fives lately have been older issues, with the exception of Conan. So I want to thank you for listening. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com is my email, or at Mike Myers Brunch on the Twitter machines. That's the best place to get a hold of me. You can also go to geekbrunchpodcast.com. Go see all the episodes there. Leave a comment inside that episode thread. Or you can go to Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button on that particular page, and you'll be able to follow all the episode threads there. I want to thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye. Hit the stop button. Stop.